Sarah, can you come here and help me out? Please. No, I need Sarah. She's going to help me out. You just sit down. That'd be cool. Thank you. And hold this right like this. Wait. Oh, you'll figure it out here. Hold it somehow. Take this. Play me a D chord when I ask you. All right. Now, everybody get your Bibles out. Get ready. Play D chord. Okay, we're going to turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Okay, Sarah, go ahead and play that for me. Go ahead, Sarah. Oh, I forgot. Okay, take your index finger, put it on the F sharp. Take your second finger, put it on the A, put your third finger on the D. Go ahead. All right. Now we're going to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Okay, Sarah, go ahead.
She's not equipped.
Oh. Take your finger. Take this finger. Okay. Okay, to put it right. This one. Mm-hmm. Right like that. Take this finger, put it right like that. Uh-huh. Take this finger, put it. Wait, take this finger. Put it right like that. Take this finger, put it on that last string. And take this finger and put it on that string right there. Okay? This finger goes up here. Up here. Uh-huh. Now, when I ask you, you press real hard. You got that pick? And just go like that when I tell you, okay? Got it? Okay, down here. Okay, ready? When I tell you, you hit it. Ready? Okay, go ahead. Perfect. Now, Philippians 2:12. Go ahead.
Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Go, play it. Thank you. You can go have a seat. Now, there is a reason I did that. You see, I told her to go up there and do it. Didn't I? And then I told her how to do it. And she still couldn't do it. Until I what? That's like telling somebody to be a Christian. Same thing. You know what you need? You need to be a Christian. Find a church. Oh. Okay. Sarah, go ahead and play a D for me. Well, this is how you be a Christian. Get a Bible. Read it. Go to a church. Listen to Caleb. Buy some Christian t-shirts. No, I won't. You see, you can tell somebody how to do it too. And guess what? They ain't got it. Until you what? Show them. Until you show them. Hey, that's something. So let's just suppose I brought Sarah up here. Whitey, and I said, Whitey, go show her how to play that guitar. Could you do it? You know how to do it. How about teach her how to play an F sharp minor seventh? Not happening. Why not? You know how to do it, do you? Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Christina, suppose I told you to go up and show Sarah how to play a B flat minor ninth. Could you do that? I could. Why? I'm a guitar player. Now here comes the $1 million question. How many of you could teach somebody how to be a Christian? I know you could tell them. I know you could tell them, but could you show them? But could you show them? You see, that's part of discipleship. It's easy to talk, but it's not so easy to walk. Help me understand that. And our lesson for the first of the year, we're back into our discipleship training. Oh, you can tell me all you want, but until you can what? Show me. How many find it easier to be shown than it is to be told? Is that not true? You know, the best teachers of the world are not the ones that sit up at a podium, they read from the textbook the same thing you got in your hand. How many ever had teachers or professors? I had them in college. You know, they sit and they read the textbook that you could go and read yourself. How many know you're not learning that way? You're teaching me what, to read? How many understand that? What's better, teach? Show me, right? Show me. The best teacher I ever had in my entire life was Dr. Charles Bradley. And he taught American history. And he came in costume. Nice. It was the greatest class I ever took in my life because he made it exciting and he showed me this stuff. How many understand that? See, in order to teach somebody how to be a Christian, you have to be able to what? Show them. Show them. We all can talk, but you need to show me. Right? You see, not too many people in this world want to be preached at. Not really. Do you know what you need? Really? You know what you need? How many know that's reciprocal, right? Well, you tell me first, I'll tell you second. And so what we got to be able to do is we need to be able to show people. Now, Sarah clearly said, when I said play D, she said, I don't know how. And then I explained it to her. I said, take your index finger and put it on the F sharp note. I said, take your second finger and put it on an A. That's what I told her. And she still looked at me like, what? You can say to somebody, hey, go read the Bible. They can read. You know what they're thinking? Well, I'll go from Genesis and I'll read all the way to Revelation. How many times do you think people do that and get it right? No. Wouldn't it be better to get the Bible and sit next to somebody and say, let me show you? Wouldn't that be better? Wouldn't that be a lot better? And so what we're going to learn today, and hopefully I'm going to be able to do this and show you how to do this, is we're going to be learning how to be more Christ-like. Isn't that what a Christian means? Christ-like? Christ-like? Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I told, you know, as iron sharp as iron, so does another man sharpen the countenance of his brother. And I've told men this, and I'll be bold and tell you this. I'm done playing church. I am so done playing church. It's time that we walk the walk and talk the talk. How many understand that? Anybody else done playing church? I am so done with it. I'm done playing church. We're going to have to be an army of Christians that we need to be. You know, it doesn't take a person long to know to stand ups and the sit downs. Does it? We can learn to stand ups and the sit downs. That don't make you a Christian. That makes you a very good church person. Is that not fair? I can teach you the doxology. You can remember it by heart. That doesn't make you a Christian. That makes you a good memorizer. That's all it makes you. That's all it makes you. I can give you a bulletin and you can read it and you can follow along in a responsive call to worship. You can get every single word right. If I even put the big hard words in there and you get it right, doesn't make you a Christian, makes you a good reader. Is that true? How many want to be a Christian? I mean, how many want to be able to show somebody how to be a Christian? Well, listen, you don't need a music stand in a church to do that. You can do that tomorrow. You could do that where you leave here. You could go do that. Couldn't you? To show somebody what it's like to be a Christian? As my example with Sarah, you probably got pretty nervous when I went up there and said, here, play that, right? You know how many Christians are nervous when they go into a church for the very first time before they're a Christian? How many of you would be boldly walking to a church if you nobody that you never know, you never met them ever in your entire life, and you walk into the church and say, here I am. How many of you really truly know that when you go into a church you've never been in, the first problem is, where am I going to sit? True? Mm-hmm. How many know the first rows are always open? And so you're looking for the one in the back, right? And then what's the next big question you got in your mind? Where's the bulletin? And then, well, which one of these books is the one I read from? The red one or the blue one? How many know that's true? That's true. And then you want to know where the bathroom is. That's the important questions of going into a brand new church for the very first time. Right? What do I wear? How long is this going to be? That's what we're concerned about. Well, you know what? That's playing church and I'm done. I'm done. We are going to be equipped to be messengers of Christ. Who wants to be equipped for that? And remember this. This is the worship service. When you leave here, church is just getting started. Because you're not leaving the church. You are the church. You're taking the church out into the world. The Gospel of St. Matthew, the very last chapter, the Great Commission. What's the very first word? Go. Ain't that something? Jimmy, it says go. Go where? To church? Glenn, go to church? Go into all of the. That means McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King. That means the get-go. That means the 7-Eleven. That means the laundry place. That means the Giant Eagle. Doesn't that mean all that stuff? It means go where? And only because I know some stuff, it means like go to First Federated. Go to Community Life. Go where do you go? You drive a truck every. You're in all corners of the world, Whitey. You're in Timbuktu, Ohio, right? You're really in all corners of the world, right? So where are you supposed to go? It does not say go to church and preach the word, does it? No, this is the choir. When we're done with the choir, where's the choir supposed to go? Out. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Wait a second. Turn to Philippians 2:12. Philippians 2:12. Keep your finger there. Keep your finger there. Philippians 2:12. Okay, now keep your finger on that Ephesians 1. Philippians 2:12. Read that.
Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Okay, keep your finger there. Go to Ephesians 2:8-9. Ephesians 2:8-9. Read that.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation. Ephesians says, not by works. Sue, you're principal, right? I'm not smart as you. But it says, it's not by works, then it says work. It says not by works, but then it says work out your salvation. That's what it says, right? It does say that, right, Pastor? It says, Christina, not by works you've been saved. And Ephesians says, but work out your salvation. Oh, wait a second. Let's maybe check out another one then. Keep your fingers. This is going to be difficult for some of you. You have like, you know, two fingers there? Ephesians chapter 2. It shouldn't be too hard because it's the very verse. Next verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Oh, this gets so confusing. I'm getting a headache. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, not by works, but by grace you have been saved. And then it says in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, work, work. Wait a second. Which one is it? Or is it a combination of them both? Or is it something totally different? What is it?
Christ in us.
Christ in us? What?
Lord.
For what?
Lord, he's in us.
Okay.
Work.
Okay. You see, salvation is by grace. And by grace alone. For ye have been saved. How many believe that? Because if we had something to do with it, how many of you know you'd be a pretty big boaster, wouldn't you? Look what I did. You think your plaques are something? Look at my plaque. You see, salvation cannot have anything to do with you or your works. If it had anything to do with you, even a small smidgen of anything, then it would be not about Jesus Christ. The biggest thing that you got to do in salvation, let go of your pride and do some accepting, right? But it says, work out your salvation. Now, what's the deal with that? See, what it means is, and we're going to talk about this, is once you have salvation, you need to go to work. You need to work hard. Some of us need to work harder than others sometimes. We need to work out our what? It says salvation. Work out your salvation. So how do we do that? What's that talking about? Working out our salvation. Well, I got it. Now I got to work on it. Right? I've received it. And now what do I need to do? I got to work out my what? Salvation. It didn't say go work on a 1967 Ford Mustang, which would be kind of cool though. It doesn't say go work and go plant a field somewhere and grow tomatoes. It says work on your what? Your salvation. Now how are you supposed to do that? What's that? What is that? Double talk? What does that mean? Okay, I received salvation through grace alone, through Jesus Christ's atoning work on a cross on Calvary. He died for my sins. How many of y'all believe that? That his blood has washed away my sin debt. Right? And I accept him as my Lord and my Savior. My sin is completely washed away, and my sin is thrown into the lake of forgetfulness, never to be brought up against me ever again, and my name will never be blotted out of the Lamb's book, Lamb's life book. How many agree with that statement? Okay, so cool. So now what am I supposed to do with this salvation that I got? Work it. With fear and snap. Work it. With fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. If I said to Sarah, I want you to play me a D chord. And she says to me, but I don't know how. And I put another guitar next to her and I said, well, just do what I do. Follow me. And I show her. And she looks at me and I show, this, you do this, you do this. And you take her hand and put it there. I said, do what I'm doing. How many of you know before long she'll be playing a D chord? How many D chords have you ever played in your life? Including today. That'd be one, yeah. But she did it in 1 minute. She did it. And so I say to her, you need to be a Christian. And she says to me, but I don't know what that means. I can say to her, well, it clearly means you need to have sanctification. And she goes, oh, okay. You get that at Sondermans, or where do you get that? You need to have sanctification in your life. That's what you need. You need to have sanctification and regeneration. Sarah, what don't you get? And she says to me, I don't get you. Right? Don't you understand, Sarah, that Christ has been a propitiation for yourself? There. Heathens. She's not going to get it. She won't get it. But if I say, you need to be a Christian, she says, but I don't know what that means. I say to her, what? I will show you. Come on, let's go to McDonald's. Let's get a Coke together. And she's standing in line with me, and I ask for a Diet Coke, and they give me an orange pop. I say, you idiot. That's showing her how to be a Christian, right? That's showing her. Well, we're on the way down to McDonald's to get ourselves a hot chocolate, right? Somebody pour milk. Sarah, buckle up. It's going to get interesting now. That's showing her how to live the life of the Christian, right? Well, the phone rings for me, and I say, Sarah, just a minute. Oh, I ain't answering that. That's showing her how to be a Christian. Help me understand that. But see, if I take my salvation and I work it in her presence, she'll learn how to be a Christian. How many say amen to that? Amen. So what we have to learn to do is we have to learn as disciples, we have to do more than talk the talk. I can't throw fancy words, propitiation and sanctification and regeneration. What the heck are you talking about? But she sees how I treat my wife. She'll learn how her husband ought to be treating her. Won't she? You see, telling somebody how to be a Christian is one thing. No, do it. Do it. How many hours a day, Yoshiko? All of them. All of them. Turn in your Bibles, please. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 8.
Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating to one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men.
It says in Scripture that we were created unto what? Good works. We are created with workmanship. What it says. So that means he created me to be a mechanic. And I have to learn to be a mechanic as Christ would be a mechanic. That's what that means, right? God created me a computer specialist. So therefore, I need to be a computer specialist as well as Christ was. Is that what that means? No. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that at all. Means that, not at all. But we are created for workmanship. We were created unto what? Good works. What works? How many know sometimes it takes a lot of work to love some people, don't it? How many know some people it takes a lot of effort to love? And you know those people that you're thinking about? There's some other church thinking about you right now. I'm serious. Same question was just asked of them. They're thinking, oh boy, you ain't kidding me. How many of you understand it takes a lot of work to be patient sometimes, doesn't it? How many know it takes a lot of work to be patient with some folks, doesn't it? How many know it takes a lot of work to show kindness to everybody on the face of this earth? To take an effort? Takes some work, right? How many know it takes some work to let your old self die and let your new self come forward? That takes some work? That's the works! That's the works! That we are created unto good works. What work? Work out your salvation! Work it out. Well, what do I get? I get the fruit of the Spirit. What? Be kind to people. Who?
Everybody.
You know, my two little grandkids that just went downstairs, Riley and Jonah, I can be very kind with them. I can be very patient with them, too. I can. This is how you tie your shoe. You make a little rabbit ear. How many ever taught a little kid how to tie their shoe? How many have a lot of patience with that kid, right? Let me teach you how to tie the shoe. How many know when that kid gets to be about 16, your patience is kind of waning? Right? I told you to take that garbage out about, you know, a year ago. And it's like still sitting there. What don't you get? Right? But we're supposed to be as kind to them and patient with them as we was to the little, put the little bunny ears together. Right? And so we are to work out our salvation. Work it out. Well, what about the things I don't want to teach my new guitar playing Christian friend? What don't I want to teach her? Let's look at the list. Look at the list. Let's go to Titus chapter 3, verse 11 again. Let me show you the list here. I'm gonna go through this list. Titus 3, chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Check it out. Remind them, first of all, to be subject to rulers and authorities. And what's the next two words? To obey. To obey. Now, I think they got some stupid rules in this world. I really do. Just ask me. I'll tell you what they are. I know what they are. I think it's pretty stupid. They got some laws in this country, which I think is pretty stupid. But they're still laws. Now, what should I do as a Christian, God-fearing man with stupid laws?
Obey them.
Obey. Teach her how to disobey them? No. Teach her how what? To obey them. Well, I don't like the IRS. They're this money-hungry. It's being taped, huh? I was just kidding, Mr. IRS agent. But in case you're trying to find me, it's Eric Lang. And my wife Yoshiko told me to say it.
Nice.
We are a country of laws, and we are to obey them. It is scriptural, isn't it?
Yes.
Take an issue with me. Go ahead. Take an issue with me. It says right there, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities and to obey. That's what it says. Should we overthrow the government? Now, if they're out there killing women and children, we got to do what we got to do. But if the laws are fair and just in a society, what's a Christian supposed to do? Obey them. Just because I think I should be able to go 65 miles an hour down the Highway Boulevard through Glenfield doesn't mean they're not going to pull me over and ask me what I'm doing. Right, Pastor Ed? They will pull me over. And I can say to them all I want, but it's unfair. They'll say, well, that's fine. Take it with you. As my granddaughter Riley says, tell it to the judge. Does she say that? I say, Riley, you know, you really ought to come in. Tell it to the judge, Pappy. Tell it to the judge. So I should teach her how to do what? Obey the laws. Should I teach her how to cheat on my taxes? No. Render unto Caesar what? What is Caesar's? Do I like having to pay it? No. Anybody see the paycheck this week at all? Guess what? How many got less than they got last week? I got less. You know why? Because the tax laws are kicking due. In case you didn't know, that's coming. You will see less in your paychecks. Who got less? Jimmy, you got less? I got less. Sue got less. Bob, we got less. Less, not a lot less. Except if Bob's pay, there'd be a lot more. But some of us is like $20, $30, right, Sue? Something like that, right, Jimmy? $20, $30, $40. It's already less. Now, we can gripe and complain about it, but what should we do? Pay it. Okay, check it out. Be ready for every good work. And here is the list of the works. Be ready for every good work. And brothers and sisters, disciples in training, there's the list. That's the list. Be ready for every good work. That means make sure I use a 9/16th when I'm supposed to use a 9/16th. Is that right, electrician guy? 9/16th. Put the goggles on. You're a lumber guy, wood shop guy.
Whatever.
Oh, I like that.
A plumber.
Okay. So put the what's that stuff called? You put on the plastic PPS. That stuff there. Yeah, that. Make sure you put that on first, right? Is that what that means? No, it doesn't mean that. It says be ready for every good work, and here they are. You ready? Speak evil of no one. It's kind of a weird phenomena in the church full of disciples that some people talk about other people. Ain't that kind of weird? I expect that out there in the highways and byways of the world. But in a church, people should be talking bad about somebody? Really? There's another big long word I want to teach my new Christian to be. It's called a hypocrite. Hypocrite is a person who says one thing and does something else. How many understand that word? It's called a hypocrite. And so what happens is, it says speak evil of no one. So I'm going to teach my Christian in training how to be Christ-like, and I should speak evil of no one. In fact, she says to me, hey, do you know that kid Ryan? I say, yeah, what about him? And I should not go to some big harangue about Ryan, right? Or, you know, somebody's talking about somebody. I should not engage in that conversation. I say, no. If we're going to talk about somebody, Christian in training, let's talk to God about them. Let's just pray for them. You go first. And she doesn't say that. I said, well, you had a lot to say before, so you must have a lot to say now. And that's how you do that. How many understand that? Do not talk evil about anyone. Look at the next work. To be peaceable. To be gentle. To be showing humility to all men. That's what we're supposed to do. And here's a list of the do nots. To do nots. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. So I shall not show her how to do those things. Now listen to me, church. Listen to me. I do not need to take who? Robin. I don't need to take Robin and put Robin in a chair and say, Robin, when I tell you play a D chord, will I have to tell her more than once? Why? Do you know what it is, how to do it? Do anybody go home and say, well, Pastor Tom must know some things about Sarah because, you know, just an example. Do I need to teach Sarah how to talk evil about people? Do I need to teach her how to be hateful sometimes? Do I need to teach her how to be angry at people? Do I need to teach her about those things? No. Why? She already knows it. Do you think I need to bring up my two grandkids and sit here and say, I'm going to show you how to whack one another? I mean, you think I need to show them? Really? If I get three grandsons, right, and I put them in chairs and I say, now listen, I'm really tired of you three because you've been too kind to one another all your lives. You have never not one time taken anything off of another one that wasn't yours, and I'm getting sick of it. Sick of it. And every time I say to do this, you do it. I'm sick of it. So from this day forward, I want you to whack him. Go ahead, whack him. And you take that. That's not. Take it. Do I need to teach those grandkids how to do that? No. No. You know why? They already know how to do it. How many know how to do those things too? Right? So I don't need to teach her what she already knows. It's already intrinsic. I need to teach her how not to do those things. The question I have for you disciples in training, how are you doing with the kids you're teaching? Really? How are you doing? Simple things, like you're a ma or you're a dad, and the phone rings, you tell your kid, hey, tell them I'm not home. You know what you're teaching them? How to lie. That's what you're teaching them. How to lie. Right? Well, you got a couple of teenagers at home, and you know, she or he is doing her own business on the computer, whatever they're doing, and they hear you talking on the phone. Boy, I hate that Mrs. Brown that goes to that church. I hate her so much. What are you teaching her or him? Well, you're teaching something, right? You're teaching something. Turn to your Bibles, please. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 to 18.
Therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Yeah. See, we Christians, we disciples, we have to be very careful that we are not swept away in our own carnality. We're not swept away into desires and pleasures of the flesh. We have to be very careful that we're not swept away. And I know what you think. You think, you know, that little things don't mean a big difference, but they do. They mean a humongous difference. For example, and I told some of you this before, it's worth me telling some of you this that had not heard this before. You need to hear this from me. I have a very good friend who's a dentist. Very good friend who's a dentist. And does very good work, see? And he was getting married, and I was the one doing the marriage. I was the one doing the wedding. I was doing it. And I did all the counseling, all that kind of stuff, and he called me on the phone, and he invited me to his bachelor party. Very nice. I really appreciated it. I appreciated being invited to his bachelor party. I said, where's it at? He said, this bar's name on the south side. Bar's name on the south side. And I said, Doc, you know, I really appreciate the invitation, but not for me. I appreciate it, but I can't go. Oh, come on. Come on, Rev. Call me Rev. Come on, Rev. Come on. I need you to be my friend. Hey, I really appreciate it. I'm still going to be your friend, but I can't go to a bar on the south side. I can't go. Whatever. Hung up on him. He's very irritated with me. I thought, whatever. So he called me back. Called me back and said, Rev, look, my dad's going to be there. My brothers are going to be there. I want to introduce them to you. I mean, I've talked about you an awful lot. Hey, I really do appreciate that, Doc, but you know, I'll meet him at their wedding. I'll meet him at the rehearsal. I can't go. I'm not going to the bar. I'm not going. Put his brother on the phone. His brother said to me, come on, Rev. I mean, he really wants you. What's the big deal? I mean, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? I said, okay. Well, let's go through the big deal. What are you going to be doing there at the bar? We have a private room? Well, of course we have a private room. I said, okay. Will you be like in the back of the bar? Well, of course. Will you have any kind of entertainment there? Well, you know, Rev, you know. Yeah, I do know. Yeah, I do know. I absolutely know. I don't drink. You can drink Cokes. Okay, let's just get this out in the open. Number one, my kid was killed by a drunk driver. I'm not going. Number two, I'm not going to a bar. Number three, I don't want my eyes to see something that my wife cannot see. Number four, I want to keep myself holy and righteous for my Lord and for my wife. Number five, the bar is in Homestead, right where I work. Now imagine this. Just try this on for size. I'm walking out of the bar and somebody who knows me drives by. They'll probably say, oh, Pastor Tom must have had to go to the restroom, I guess. You think that's what they'll be saying? Oh, no, Pastor Tom probably needed a Diet Coke. Now, you know how fast that bar's going to light up? Guess where I saw Pastor Tom? You're never going to believe it. And I thought I saw him stumbling a little bit, too. No. When your feet are dug in, let them stay dug in. Christ says, stay rooted. Stay rooted. How fast you think Satan wants to knock you off your witness? Have one person see me in the bar. What happens to my testimony? It will at least be tarnished a little bit, right? No, walk the walk and quit talking the talk. How many understand that? Walk the walk. Walk the walk. Don't just talk the talk. Is it easy to walk the walk? No, it's not easy, but do what you're supposed to be doing. And Scripture says right there, read that again for me.
You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Oh, amen. Okay, now, we are going to now get into a part of this message where it has to do with Christ-likeness. So I want you to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read verses 5 to 11.
But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, self-control to self-control, perseverance to perseverance, godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins.
So what we are supposed to do, brothers and sisters, is we are supposed to take that salvation that has been freely given to us. That salvation, which is a gift of God to us, not deserved, but freely given. And once we've been given that salvation, what are we supposed to do with it? And that's something that disciples have to grasp. Once you've been given that salvation, now once you have that awareness that your sins have been forgiven you, how many of your sins have been forgiven you in this room? Once you have that knowledge, I like to tell people that's not the ending you have arrived. No. That's the what? That's the beginning. Now you have to what? Work at it. How many understand that? Now you got to work at it. Now let me explain it to you. You come into a place and you are addicted to whatever it is you want to be addicted to. Like guitar playing, for example, in Sarah's case. You have this addiction and you're addicted, right? You're addicted to something. And you come into the church and you want a release of this addiction, whatever that it is. Alcoholism, drugs, pornography, whatever. And you come in, the door, and you come up there to the elders, and you say to the elders, for example, I got this addiction problem. I'm addicted to whatever that it is. You all follow that, right? Whatever that it is. And the elders, they pray over you. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right? And you have this new awareness that Christ is in you. And you have this real warm and fuzzy kind of feeling, right? And you go outside of the door, and instantly you're an addict free. Is that how this works? You're no longer addicted to alcohol. You're no longer addicted to drugs. You're no longer addicted to pornography. Is that how this works? No. What's it going to take now?
Work.
It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of work. How many days do you think an alcoholic will accept Jesus Christ and go out and struggle? A lot of times. It takes a lot of work. It takes work. But the good news is that you have somebody inside of you that helps you go through the work. Is that true? You have the desire. Somebody once said, and I forgot who it was that said this, you know, you have to, you know, take the old self and you have to bury it. And so that those desires and things that you had, the old self, you know, you don't want to work on it anymore. And I tell people, you know, when you have Jesus Christ in your life, you don't want to do that anymore. It's gone. But every day is a struggle. How many know we all struggle with things? How many still struggle with things? How many are getting much better at it? How many have conquered some things in your life? But how many know there's still other things you got to work at, right? As Pastor Ed says, there's a what? Immediate light. And Pastor Ed, although I haven't hung around with him every minute of every day, but I certainly would hope that the idiot light is slower to come on. How about in the earlier days? Quick? He was on most of the time, right? And so, but now, you know, born again, Bible thumping, card carrying, Jesus freak kind of guy, that switch is kind of getting rusty, right? How many understand that? That's a great analogy. And so what happens is, you know, I'm no longer doing what I wanted to do in the frequency I was doing it before. How many can say amen to that? But you're still fighting the fight, aren't you? And that's what the scripture passage is talking about. We need to work at this. It takes work. It takes an effort. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 11. It says that we're setting our minds on the Christ-like characters and qualities. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. 5 to 8.
But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, self-control to self-control, perseverance to perseverance, godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm. Brothers and sisters, take that passage of scripture. I need you really to look at this. When my new Christian, Sarah, accepts Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, she now enters into that in a faith moment. She said, I take upon myself by faith that what you just told me is true. Anybody follow that? I tell her about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I tell her all about the good news, the gospel message, and she takes it upon faith that what I told her was true. And so she accepts the invitation of the Lord. Everybody follow that? Now, instantly she has all those things, right? Grace and humility and gentleness. She has all those things. Instantly, she's like this unbelievably wonderful Bible-thumping, card-carrying,
Jesus freak.
There you go. Jesus freak, scripture quoting. But is that true? That's not true. It's not true. She has all the capacity to be that, but she has to what? Work at it. How many understand that? You need to work at it. And some of us fall away because we're tired of working at it. It's easier to be the way you've been for 50 some years like me. She's up to her. She got to get. It's easier. How many know it's easier to be your old self than it is to be your new self? Yes. How many say that's a true statement? It's easier to go right back into the way that you do things. Isn't it easier to do that? And that's why it takes work to kill the old self and work on the new self. How many understand that? How many still work in progress? How many's arrived? Have we arrived at all this? Nah. You know, when people ask me if I'm a Christian, you know what I say to them? It's really cool. No. They hired a non-Christian for the chaplain? Now I got to be careful. Yeah. Well, yeah, kind of, sort of. Well, what do you mean? Well, I haven't achieved it yet. I'm still working hard to be one, though. How many are working hard to be one? I haven't got there yet, but I'm sure working hard to be one. So next week, I'll work hard at being a pastor, and we'll continue in our lesson. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity. The opportunity, the unbelievable great gift of trying to be like Christ. Lord, we don't need to be like Ben Roethlisberger or Mario Lemieux or somebody else. We need to be like Christ. And it's a hard work. For those of us that are really striving hard, we know how hard it is. It's hard work. It don't come easy. But Lord, the rewards are heavenly. So Lord, help us to be more like you and a lot less like us. And all of God's people said, amen.